This man we are going to be learning on Fridays, the photo of Moshe Feinstein. In general, in Kaitzman on Fridays, we try to be able to focus. We try to be able to focus on Bali Machshava, or really Manhigim, Poskim, in the 20th century, from the 20th century. So we've spoken about the Rav, we've spoken about Tzadok, he died in 1902. We spoke about the Chaz Nish and Rav Huttner, and this year, Be'ezra Hashem, we're going to speak about Rav Moshe Feinstein. What we're not going to do is really, at least today, go through like the general biography of Rav Moshe. A lot of the information is more or less readily available online. I do want to sort of jump into things a little bit by giving us some insight into the thought of Rav Moshe. And I want to do so by speaking about really what is an incredibly important question, and that is the role of authority and leadership, the role that Rav Moshe plays in terms of the world of halacha, why Rav Moshe thinks he has to play the role that he did play. Rav Moshe was passed away in 1986. Rav Moshe was the primary. Rav Moshe was in many ways the preeminent posek, specifically in America in the second half of the 20th century, but in many ways throughout the world, Rav Moshe became a person that was turned to from all over. In Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe's tshuvas. So one of the great things about him is that Rav Moshe tells us who he's writing the tshuva to, and that way we get a good insight in terms of who exactly Rav Moshe was communicating with. What I want to focus on today is something which I find to be fascinating, and Rav Moshe relates to it in a bunch of different places. Rav Moshe, we know Igros Moshe as Rav Moshe's sefer in Psak, Dibros Moshe, Rav Moshe's Shiurim on Shas, Rosh Moshe is Rav Moshe's sefer on Chumash, and there are lots of other svarim that have come out over the years. Mesoros Moshe, Mishmiyaron, and a bunch of them that have come out where they put together the Torah of Moshe Feinstein. And there's a lot to speak about, a lot of it in the details of specific halachic shilas. But we're going to speak about what I believe is an unbelievably fascinating series of ha'aras of Rav Moshe. Today we're going to be based on a little bit with an Igros, some couple pieces in Igros Moshe, one piece in Dibros Moshe, and a couple pieces from the sefer on Chumash. That can hopefully put things together in a way which is very, very meaningful. Again, it relates to what it means to be a manhig and why Rav Moshe, in many ways, functioned as the kind of posek that he did and the kind of manhig that he was. Let's start like this. Rav Moshe is very much aware of the fact, and it's clear in the Hakdama to many of his svarim, that there is something almost like presumptuous in publishing your svarim, and there is something which can appear at times even gaivadik, when you're going to be the person who publishes like your tshuvas. And when you're the person who's paskening shy of lots of people, you're making a certain kind of statement about yourself. Rav Moshe is aware that the Gemara in Sota and Daf Chav Beis tells us that a person who's not higia lahora, that a person who is not appropriate or fit to be able to pasken, who does pasken, so the Gemara is very harsh, and the Gemara critiques such a person. A person should only pasken if they're in fact higia lahora. So Rav Moshe describes how there were people. Kivieger relates to this, as he notes there. There were people that were hesitant to paskin because they thought that I have a lot of Yerushalayim and I have to be scared and maybe I'm not really that much of a chacham. I don't know everything and how could it be? Maybe I'm not higiel lahora. So there were people that were hesitant to really paskin when they would be asked certain questions. Rav Moshe is aware of that. Rav Moshe is also aware of the fact, this is in the Hakdama of the Dibros Moshe to Baba Kama. It's in source number 5 here in the sheet. Rav Moshe is aware of the fact, and some is quoted in a bunch of different places. But Rav Moshe is aware. He says, from the Tshuva Zechasm Sofer, there were also great tzaddikim, there were great chachamim who were nizhar not to publish their svarim, because meichitase there's really an obligation to publish svarim, and it involves a lot of tircha, and also there's always a concern I'm going to publish something that I'm going to think really I made a mistake and I was wrong. So Rav Moshe knows number one, many people are nervous to paskin. Number two, many people don't want to publish Sfarim. Number three, Rav Moshe is aware of, and he points out in a couple different places, Rav Moshe is aware that part of being a manhig, we referenced this I think earlier this week, part of being a manhig is aware of the fact that people are going to critique you, and that there's going to be harsh opposition to what you say, and that you can't be a leader, you can't be a person who's going to paskin on heavy, weighty shilas. And Rav Moshe was a person on so many of the quote-unquote newer questions. Rav Moshe is the one who's sort of taking an original view on topics. He's the one that's forced to deal with new shilas. Rav Moshe knows that people are going to critique him. Rav Moshe is critiqued by the world of Satmar and Nituri Karta. Rav Moshe is a person who does undergo a degree of criticism in his lifetime by a variety of people. And he's aware of that. He's aware of that. So part of what Rav Moshe does in the beginning of his Sfarim is try to justify. So why is he doing what he's doing? Why is he a person that when people ask him shailas, he's going to be the one who feels the achrayas to respond to those shailas? Why is he doing that, and how is he justified in doing so? And how is he allowed to come along and to publish his Sfarim? Why is to publish Sfarim in Halacha, or publish Sfarim in Lamdas, publish Sfarim in Drush? So why is Rav Moshe doing that? Why isn't he like those the Chasam Sofer describes, who viewed themselves, they were nervous to be people who were going to Paskin, they were nervous to view themselves, to put them in these kinds of situations where they're going to be publishing Sfarim. Why isn't Rav Moshe doing that? Why is he taking the role that he takes? Rav Moshe in America is not just a posik. Rav Moshe is really, in many ways, the ultimate manig, the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah. Rav Moshe is, at the head of it. He's a person who's dealing with a variety of significant and major Klal Yisrael issues. And part of the question is, so what exactly is really going on? Who really was, why is Rav Moshe really doing this? And I want to try to develop the way Rav Moshe speaks about it. It's unbelievably powerful, and it's amazing when you experience what appears to be authentic anivas, authentic humility, in the course of describing why he's becoming a very, very public figure in the way in which he did. And we'll see a lot of, especially when you look at the context of what he writes in his Perush al Torah, I think it's an underrated, the Sefer on Torah, I think, is sometimes related to, at least the way that I related to it until, I don't know, Pesach time, was really just a collection of like vorts on Chumash. Rav Moshe, you can learn a lot, from Rav Moshe Sefer and Chumash. He gets lemaisa sometimes, and I think you can extract a lot from there as far as Rav Moshe's general perspective on things. Let's start like this. Okay. He writes in his Hagdama to Igros Moshe. Igros Moshe is his magnum opus, is his greatest work of halacha, is what you can find in Batei Medrash all over the world. Rav Moshe writes, Lechora, I should have held back and not really paskin. I should have been of those that are scared to paskin, because the Gemara in Sota tells us that you shouldn't paskin if you're not higiyah lehora. So Rav Moshe writes a bunch of different things, and these are very important. Number one, the definition of higiyah lehora is always going to be dependent on the generation that you find yourself in. In the times of Chazal, the definition of Higiyah Lahora, who was fit and appropriate to Paskin, that was going to be someone of a very, very high Madrega. But the nature of Yiris HaDoros and the nature of each generation is each generation requires people who are able to Paskin Shilos for that generation. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, I can't say, Enoch Inami, is it true, says Rav Moshe? If I was alive 300 years ago, if I was alive 1,000 years ago, it could be that I'm not a Chacham that's Higiyah Lahora. I'm not a person that's objectively fit and appropriate to Paskin. But, says Rav Moshe, point number one, every generation needs to have people, and I think in every generation, Shavani b'chol dor, who mida acheres l'hach shefigia lahora, every generation has to be a little bit different. And therefore, even though I have to be a little bit nervous, kol shekein l'ktani erech kamoni, people are on a low madrega like me, says Rav Moshe, she'aim bi Torah v'chachma karoi, that I'm not really where I want to be. She'hayli l'noa mi l'horos l'gamrei, I should have been nervous passing entirely, let alone publishing Sfarim. But still, every generation has to have people who are going to Paskin. Says Rav Moshe, but if I hold a not that big of a Talmud Chacham, aren't I nervous I'm going to make mistakes? How can I Paskin? Aren't I living in fear of making a mistake? So Rav Moshe says the following, and it's very powerful. Moshe says the Gemara in Erevin tells us Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that every generation that these and those are the words of the living God. This is Moshe. What does Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim mean? What does it mean that even if people argue, they could all be MS? That if the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama argue, it could all be MS? Says with Moshe what it means is as follows. The Torah tells us the Gemara Darshan from Chumash. The Gemara says about Metzia. The Torah is Lo Bashamayim. What does that mean? So we spoke about this at length in some of the Shiurim in Chorev's Man. What that means is as follows. A chacham has to learn. And when you sit and learn, says Rav Moshe, and you sit, la'achar sha'ayin kiroi levayar ha'alacha b'shasu poskim kfi kocho, when you sit and you learn, and you really work very, very hard, Rav Moshe does not claim to be the biggest chacham in the world. Rav Moshe is very clear that he believes that he works very hard. And Rav Moshe writes, when you work very hard, b'choved rosh, and you write, and you're doing it in a way where you're really... COVID Rosh, you're doing it in a serious way, So if you work hard and you feel like you have real Yerushamayim and you're doing it l'shem Shamayim, so says Rav Moshe, your psak is going to be MS. Enachinami klapi shmaya. Maybe it's not true, but every generation in its own place. And if you work hard, says Rav Moshe, and you deal with it seriously, you're qualified to take a stand on issues. Now, you, not any guy, but a person who's really roy, he's the chacham in that door, so he's able to come along, he's able to paskin. Further, says Rav Moshe, you know what, maybe I'm not deserving of it. Maybe what I'm saying is not always considered to be true. But says Rav Moshe, when I write my tshuvas, he says, I work so hard, by the way, both together, when you speak about Derech HaLimud of Rav Moshe, as opposed to Rav Avadia, Rav Moshe does not just stop rely on what Achronim say. Rav Moshe is always questioning and developing. He works very, very hard to understand everything as well as possible. But Rav Moshe writes, when I write my tshuvas, and here's a, it's very different than what gets published a lot nowadays, these farm of like a Chaim Kanievsky, where they have like the questions and mutter, aster, or things like that. Says Rav Moshe, I don't do that. Igros Moshe is going to have my psak. It's going to have my reasoning for my psak. Why are you going to have my reasoning for my psak? Because of Moshe, I'm not authoritative enough that the fact that I say it's mutter on its own should be deserving or worthy of you following it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to explain to you why I'm doing what I'm doing, and then you, as the person who learns, and other Mori Hora, are going to see my reasoning, and they're going to see whether they find it compelling or don't find it compelling. So Rav Moshe feels need to justify, who am I to be a person who's even going to deal with this set of emotion? Number one, each door to its own place. I'm going to work really, really hard. There's Siyat Deshmaya, Dibri Lokim Chayim. It's going to be considered valid. I'm going to give you my reason so you can weigh whether you think it's appropriate or not. And multiple Sfarim have been published. A couple just on Igros Moshe, and some of them collecting those who argue with Rav Moshe. People argue with him. And the last thing Rav Moshe writes, and here it's interesting, Rav Moshe writes, I'm not sure that I'm even allowed to not answer these questions. That when people ask me shailas, I think there is a certain understanding that I really do have to paskin them. And Rav Moshe, to prove this, quotes a Gemara Maseches Brachos and Davdal. The Gemara says that David said that his hands were dirty with blood from dealing with shailas of Hilchos Nida and the like. Asks Rav Moshe, David HaMelech, why is David dealing with shailas, where he's dealing with the blood of women, trying to see mutter aster? Isn't that beneath his kavod in a certain sense? Isn't that beneath his kavod? So says Rav Moshe, Enechinami, it may be beneath his kavod. But David may have understood that if someone asks him a question, he has nachrayas to answer the question. So says Rav Moshe, I believe that I have nachrayas when asks me a question to be able to answer that question. He writes also, I know that that my Rebbeim checked with me. I know that my father believed that could be a Mora Hora, and I feel that there's a certain kind of responsibility I have towards him. So that's Rav Moshe. So part of what we're going to speak about today is why Rav Moshe felt qualified to be the person he was, and what the implications are for other people in the thought of Rav Moshe. So the first thing, Rav Moshe is aware of the fact, there's something presumptuous about publishing tshuvas. And he has to try to justify it. He justifies it in a way where he's saying, I'm not the biggest Talmid Chacham, I'm not the biggest Chacham in the history of Klal Yisrael. I'm a Chacham in this generation, I think, or at least I work very, very hard. And I believe the Ribbono Shel Olam, which at the Shemaya, is going to position me to be in a good place. That's Rav Moshe as far as Psak. But there are other areas where Rav Moshe as a manhig is functioning. And one of them, which is very, Rav Moshe is a person that people are coming to for brachas. Rav Moshe is a person that people are coming to, can you please daven for me, can you please daven for this, can you daven for that. And Rav Moshe and the tshuva, Igros Moshe, I find the tshuva to be so unbelievably insightful. It's an unbelievable tshuva. It's in Yoredei Achilek Dalet, Tzimnin Aleph. Rav Moshe writes, what do I do? Because, you know, the Gemara does tell us in Baba Basra that if you have a cholet, Pesach Peso, you should go to a chacham and ask him to daven for you. He says, Rav Moshe, what do I do? Because people come to me, ki'ilu am a chacham. They're machzik me as a chacham, and they ask me for brachas. He says, misha machzik and also a chacham, people come, they come to me like I'm a chacham, and they come, or come to the person, they say, oh, kudav for me, can you give me a bracha? So Moshe writes, I know that there are many gedolei Torah, again, it's the theme of Moshe, that will say, why ask me for a bracha? I'm not worthy of it. That's not Rav Moshe's minhag. Rav Moshe, if you ask him for a bracha, will give you a bracha. But Rav Moshe, this is what's so amazing about him, is at the time he's doing that, he's very it's like self-reflective. So who am I that is deserving of this? Who am I that people come over when I hold up to be chacham that I can be that I can answer people's questions or that I can not questions that I may have a chiyuv to do that I can daven for them or give them brachas? What's really the pshat? So Rav Moshe says like this. Number one, says Rav Moshe, I hold that tefilas kol adam ruyas kabel v'tishma, that whenever a person hears that someone is sick, you have an achrayus to daven for them. Step number one, Rav Moshe, why do I give a bracha? Why do I daven for people? I believe everyone's chayav to do so. Every person that knows someone sick is chayav to do so. But number two, says Rav Moshe, kol shekinah chacham. And here Rav Moshe says a bunch of different things. He says, look at this. It's an underlined section. V'yafshem mashem mevakshem osi l'spal l'varchem hu mach mashem machzik and osi l'chacham, says Rav Moshe, but everyone holds them a chacham. When they come to ask me for a bracha, or to daven for them, they're not asking me because they think I'm a regular person. They're asking me because they think that I'm a chacham. So what do I do? Because I hold them not a chacham. Here, Moshe, this is like the great insight. If I would tell them, sha'adayin lo higati l'chacham, if I tell them, by the way, you're wrong, I'm not yet a chacham, so why are you asking me? So he says, adarab, or egdal etzlam machmazesh, yomru shumitara anava. Then I become even more chacham in their eyes. No, don't ask me, I'm not a chacham. Then I'm also an anav. Says Moshe, I'm sort of stuck a little bit. Because if I say, taka, I'm a chacham, then I'm a bagaiva. If I say, what are you asking me for? I'm not a chacham yet. Then I'm even going to become all the more chashuv. Because now they're all going to say, whoa, Rav Moshe is also an anav. So what do I do? Because on the one hand, they're wrong and I'm not really a chacham. On the other hand, I can't really tell them that because then I'm just setting themselves up to make the problem even worse. So what do I do? So Rav Moshe here says also, step one, the definition of chachma, the definition of chacham he holds in the Gemara, does not mean objectively you are a chacham. It means that in your door, every door in its own place, every door, the hagdara of chacham in 20th century Europe or America is not the hagdara of chacham found in the Chazal, and you still have a certain achrayus. Says Moshe, you know, what could I do? V'gam halo shayach lahachas es hametzias. I can't tell them I'm not a chacham at all. Why? So this pasamti ba'olam, aren't I a little bit well known? Says Rav Moshe, not delusional. L'shem chacham, mitzvah shani masik. I'm rosh yeshiva. V'amar shiurim, I give shiurim. Umin asfarim shechibarti, I publish sfarim. Says Rav Moshe, I can't get away with saying that, like in this door, like I'm not a chacham bichlal. I'm rosh yeshiva who's given sfarim. So objectively, Rav Moshe writes, it's an unbelievable statement. Don't be delusional, says Rav Moshe, about where you're at. I'm not a chacham objectively. But in this door, I hold on, I haven't really reached the madrigas of Torah and Chachma, but I will function as such in the world of Psak. I will function as such in the world of davening and giving brachas, because I hold that that's really my achrayus in this door, each door in its own place, and that's where I'm really at. What you see in the Sfarim of Rav Moshe, at least what you see in the way he describes things in these tshuvas, and we'll see it in the Dibur Moshe also, the Da'ati Rav Moshe felt an unbelievable sense of achrayus. Not delusional, in touch with reality. He's a person who works very, very hard, who is a chacham, albeit, says Rav Moshe, not the one that Chazal were describing when they said chacham sheyigi l'hora, but there's a siyat d'shmai that a person can be zocha to when he works hard and when he has accomplished what he's accomplished. Now, there are some who will quote Rav Moshe, try to argue that really, like every person that wants to, can just paskin as long as you work. You have to work really, really hard. You do have to be a person of a certain madrega. Rav Moshe is a person who's a massive talmid chacham. But he's saying you can't use it as an excuse for Rav Moshe not to publish svarim, not to answer shailas. If someone asks you a shaila, you have an achrayus, says Rav Moshe, to be able to answer that shaila as much as possible. Rav Moshe goes on to describe the achrayus. I want to describe it in a couple different places, and you find, I think, a very, very powerful ideas. Number one, this is what's in the Dibros Moshe in his Hakdama. Baba Kama was the first volume put out, I believe, in Chelek Aleph there. Rav Moshe writes, I hold as follows, and it has implications, I think, for nowadays a bit. There is a mitzvah, Mita Oraisa, to not only learn Torah, but also to teach Torah. A very famous machloket between the Rambam and the Bahag, where those are two separate mitzvahs, a mitzvah to learn Torah and a mitzvah to teach Torah, or they're really one mitzvah to learn and to teach. Rav Moshe understands the mitzvah to teach Torah demands not only teaching Torah, but teaching Torah to as wide an audience as you could possibly reach, at least on some levels. Rav Moshe, if you could teach Torah to 50 people, but instead you chose to only teach Torah to 10 people, Rav Moshe thinks you have not fully fulfilled the mitzvah to teach Torah. If I could teach more, instead I teach less, I have not fully fulfilled that obligation. Says Rav Moshe, that's part of the reason why I'm writing down my shiurim. I can write down my shiurim, and anyone who wants to can come to the Lower East Side and they can hear my shiurim. But says Rav Moshe, not everyone can come to the Lower East Side. And even those that are there are going to forget certain things. And says Rav Moshe, I've lost some of my ksavim over the years. And that's why it's not enough just to write things down, but I have an obligation to come along and to publish svarim. Because it's part of my quest, a person that's nachrayas, try to teach Torah to as wide an audience as they possibly can. That's part of the real fulfillment of the mitzvah of being mefarsim, of going out and teaching Torah to a wide audience. Now, there's always a tension here, if I can just point this out. I have tension all the time with like what shiurim you put up online. So on one level, I happen to just not be as on top of things as I should be. Hence, we've only had like 7 of the Parah Aduma shiurim up online. And like, granted, like the masses of Klal Yisrael are not like, waiting for those shiurim. On some level, you know, you do have your people, maybe, that on some level are. But not in the Parah Aduma as much. But part of it is weighing the achrayas between when are you the person who's right to do it, not right to do it? When is it appropriate or not? But part of it for Rav Moshe, what he emphasizes is if you have the opportunity to make something available for more people, that's part of the mitzvah of publicizing Torah, of teaching Torah, is to make it as aware as possible. That's Rav Moshe as far as a certain understanding as to what it means to be a manhig. What are the risks that come with being a manhig? Here is an unbelievable vort of Rav Moshe in Parshas Noach. It's here in the sheet in source number 7. It's an awesome, awesome ha'ara of Rav Moshe, and I think it's so it's so powerful. And it goes to the responsibility to be a man, the responsibility to be a leader, if you have that capacity. Torah refers to Noach as a ish tzaddik tamim haya bederosav. There are two praises of Noach that we find here. One, Noach is a tzaddik. And two, Noach is a tamim. Noach is tamim. Both those terms are hard to really define. Obviously, they're both praiseworthy. We're most here taking sides on a question. A lot of discussions in Mefarshim was towards the Noach feeling achrayas to the klal. Was Noach focused on himself? Did Noach care about the klal? So Rav Moshe takes one side on that, and Rav Moshe offers the following insight: what is the difference between tamim and tzaddik? So Rav Moshe says the word tamim means that no one's ever questioned you, that you are complete with no pegima. You're not pugim. No one's questioned where you are. That's tamim. Tamim's a person who is pure and whole, and no one's questioned whether he's righteous. No one's questioned whether what he's doing is correct. That's tamim. Tzaddik, says Rav Moshe, is a person. What does tzaddik mean? There's a taina on you, and then when they look into you, they find that you are zakai. Tzaddik is zakai. Tzaddik means innocent. They were questioning you, and they found that what you were doing, you're really okay and you're innocent. So which is greater, tzaddik or tamim? Says Rav Moshe, l'chor the tamim is far greater. The tamim is a person that no one's ever questioning who he's, where he's at, ever knows he is righteous, complete, and whole. The tzaddik is a person that people have questioned. The tzaddik is the person that people have wondered, has he made mistakes? Is he really so great? Is he really so fantastic? The tzaddik is asking Moshe the following question. How come when the Torah praises Noach as being both a tamim and a tzaddik, as being a person in certain realms that no one's ever questioned, is whole and complete, is all pure, holy, and no one's doubted, and a tzaddik in other realms, a person that people maybe did question a little bit, and people had to look into, and there were shilas, there were tainas on him, why does the Torah say first, tzaddik, tamim? What you mentioned first is the greater praise. So ask Rav Moshe, why are we praising Noach first as a person that people have questioned and looked into, and only then as a tamim, someone who's complete? Isn't the tamim far greater? No one's ever questioned him. Shouldn't we first be praising Noach because he is a tamim? That's Rav Moshe's shaila here in Parshas Noach. Rav Moshe offers the following insight, and again, in light of what you know now from Igros Moshe, from the Hakdama to Dibros Moshe, what Moshe says here is so incredibly important. Moshe as follows: Yesh machshava etzel harbei yirei Hashem. Again, in some ways, he critiques this perspective that lama lo kol zos hayachal leishi b'dal amos shalov yebemadregas tamim. There are many people that argue, wouldn't it be awesome? Let me just stay a tamim. I'll be what's referred to in many ways as a hidden tzaddik. Let's keep sharing this sometime. It is an amazing machlokas I don't know where it starts, but amazing machlokas about being a hidden tzaddik. Those who view that as like the lamed vav tzaddikim are those that no one knows about, and in many ways they're the most holy, most righteous, or these hidden tzaddikim that sit in some shul somewhere and just reading now about a certain hidden tzaddik. And I mean, obviously not that hidden, if I'm reading about him, but sitting in Bnei Brak and sitting in a small shul all day and a certain madrega there. And you've others that describe with Moshe, lav dafka, that's the highest madrega. That to be the hidden tzaddik, sit in a shul all day. More people think, wouldn't that be great? I'll just be a tamim, and no one's ever going to question me. I'll sit in that shul all day, and I'll learn all day, tal's tefillin, sitting there. And maybe I'll write tzfarim, but I'm never going to be involved in things. Isn't that a higher madrega? Isn't the tamim greater than the tzaddik? Says with Moshe, you know what? When you get involved in things and you have hashpa, he says, shel adam she'ein tzorech she'yashpia al-achayrim v'adei tamim madrega yosher gedola. If no one needs you to have hashpa, so tamim is the highest person, no one's questioning you at all. But says Rav Moshe, be'adam she'tzorech lahashpia. If a person has to have influence on others, you have the capacity to be a manhig. You have to have influence. Says Rav Moshe, even though you know, this is the metzias of Rav Moshe's life here, people are going to critique you. People are going to argue with you. People are going to argue with your psakim. People are going to argue with you as a manik and who you are. Me'eza anashim. He says, afal Moshe Rabbeinu hayu ma'aron acherim v'kol shekein manik acher. If Moshe Rabbeinu had people arguing with him, every manik is going to. And people may think it's safer not to be involved. Says Moshe, no. Ein achinami. When you get involved in trying to be mashpia on others, yeshagam lo yachshivu tzadeh. People are going to think sometimes that you're really not a tzaddik. They're going to think that you're crazy, mekel, don't have enough yer shamayim. They're going to think that you're not l'shem shamayim. People are going to critique you a lot. But says Rav Moshe, but there is a kinegar on Shemish Baruch. But you can't. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to do things. Says Rav Moshe, shechayiv es kol adam shebiyado lashpia lios manig shemukroch la'asos zeh af shu alav taromas v'kushios. Rav Moshe, I believe. Again, I think there's something here in light of the Igros Moshe where Moshe himself felt there's enormous pressure and enormous achrayas that you're not allowed to run away from. Moshe understood, people may argue with you and people may challenge you, but part of leadership and part of authority is that you have to feel a certain responsibility and a certain pressure to do so. And even though people are going to argue with you, and even though people are going to critique you, and there's far from mana le'igros, which is saved on Igros Moshe, which is just trying to argue with emotion in a way that many thought was like kolkulo, shalo, l'shem, shemayim, just like straight up arguing with Moshe. I knew something came out last year. I have it somewhere in the room, I don't know where, of like, right there on the left. Have you had that? No, not one level. The left? Yeah, that one. This came out last year. It's an awesome paper. Psichas ha'igros, which what he really does, even though he writes he's not doing this, but I think what he really does, he's just going through Igros Moshe, and he's collecting like on lots of tshuvas, all the people that argue essentially with Rav Moshe. Now, sometimes he quotes who agrees with him, but a lot of time it's people with kashrut Rav Moshe, disagree with Rav Moshe. A lot of the thrust of it is people who argue with Rav Moshe. And again, l'shem shemayim for sure, but your Rav Moshe, when you become a manhig and you take a stand on issues, there may be people who are going to argue with you. When you deal with halachic issues of what you deal with people who are struggling with infertility, and Satmar is going to oppose you, or Turekart is going to oppose you, and Moshe visited Eretz Yisrael once, and Turekart is going to oppose him. There are going to be people who are going to critique him. And part of that, says Rav Moshe, is the sense of achrayus that a person's supposed to have, and how you're not allowed to sort of like channel a certain kind of aniva. So like, who am I? Why should I publish? Why is it a shayla? Why should I be a manik? And Rav Moshe learns this also very powerfully in Parsha Shmos also. Again, a lot of places in Parsha Chumash, this is an idea that Rav Moshe is sort of encouraging in his drashas. And again, his drashas he took... Rav Moshe is known as far as Igros Moshe's Psak. Rav Moshe took his farm in Lamdas, Dibros Moshe, incredibly seriously. And his drushas, Rav Moshe also took very, very seriously. One second, Drush Moshe there in Parsha Shmos, Moshe points out, you know, even the way that Moshe Rabbeinu initially is sold to become a manik, so Moshe in a certain sense, V'yaster Moshe, panav kiyarmi abid el kim, Moshe, when Hashem reveals himself to Moshe in Parsha Shmos, so Moshe, he's not yet the manik, Moshe covers his face to not look at the Ribbono Shalom. And that is something which, on the one hand, Moshe got schar for, and he also got punished a little bit. And says of Moshe, what's going on here is as follows. There's a certain schar and a certain humility Moshe had to say, I'm not worthy of Hashem revealing himself to me. On the other hand, Avakash Baruch Hu Heshiv Lo. Tzaratan Lahasik Dvarim Gedolim Ka'elu. You have to be able to hachriya midas hanava shalom. Says Rav Moshe, you got to know sometimes when to overpower your sense of humility. You have to know when it's not okay to be humble. V'yazeh hikvid alav hakarsh baruchu. And now Rav Moshe goes on to say, it's the lemaisa. U'mizeh yesanu lomor ki yesh dvarim shemachrim as amid hayosha gedola kegon kisharay laharos v'encha misha yorat. Says Rav Moshe, there are a lot of situations where there are good midas to have, to be an anav's an awesome midah, but you just can't be. You got to overpower that sense of anivas. Got to overpower that sense and do things that are chashuv and do things that the world really demands. Mukhrach lahoros v'lo lachosh l'midas ha'anava. You can't justify all of your humility all the time. You got to be a person who's willing to be a manik. Got to be willing to be a manik. Now, and this maybe we'll just add one more point before we sort of pull back and chazer. Rav Moshe and Hagdamah to Rav Moshe, they quote a drasha that Rav Moshe gave in Purim in his house. And Rav Moshe there says something which is interesting. Rav Moshe does not believe that if you're a manhig, or you're the posek, or you're this great person, that means that you have to be the person who's holding yourself in such high esteem. Rav Moshe writes that the manhigim of Klal Yisrael, and it's part of the greatness of it, it's fundamentally different than Christianity. Now you can question a little bit about what Rav Moshe says, but it's an interesting thought nonetheless. Rav Moshe writes that in a lot of Christianity, so the priest, Lemashal, he's the holy one, and he really has different halachas than regular Christians. The priest can't get married. The priest is the one who's like, the one who's really sort of serving God all the time. He has different sets of rules. And because of that, says Rav Moshe, two things happen. Number one, the average person thinks, he'll do it, and me, I don't know, it's a chrayis, I'll do whatever I do, but the real, like, halacha, who keeps that? The priest keeps that. In many ways, it's referred to as, like, vicarious religion. People that think that, like, oh, they'll be frum, and then that's okay for me, because, like, my priest is very religious. Or sometimes, yeah, that's in the Yadis even. Like, my rabbi is observant. That's one of the critiques that people have sometimes of conservative Jewry, is specifically that point. That they're too tolerant with, like, vicarious religion. Like, oh, my rabbi keeps certain things. No, you have to keep certain things. You have to. The second thing, says Rav Moshe, is that when you have the manhigim, they have a separate set of rules. When they mess up, it's disastrous. Because they're the holy people. And they have their own rule. They're supposed to be holy. And if they mess up, it's unbelievably disastrous. Moshe Rabbeinu, says Rav Moshe, has to keep the same halachic system that the rest of Klal Yisrael has to keep also. We all have manhigim and simple Jews. We all have the same Shulchan Aruch. There are chumras here or there, but the same basic halacha all people have to have. Because all people share certain responsibilities. We can never make the mistake of saying, oh, this great person messed up. He messed up. But he's a regular person like everyone else. We're all born from humans. We're all born as children. We all work to develop who we become. And people can become great by virtue of their Torah. And people can struggle also. But there's a certain sense of equality. Some are going to be the manhigim. But don't make the mistake with Moshe of assuming the manhigim, they are who they are, they play by a different set of rules, they have their own mitzvahs, their own reality, they could do what they want to do. Moshe, no. In many ways, by the way, this is like one of the things that to be very, very fearful of. Because when you deal with like the Mekubal and Tzfas, who when he was giving advice to women, committed some terrible averas and some terrible crimes, one of the things we have to be nervous of are leaders that play by a different set of rules. Leaders that play by a different set of rules. So, Rav Moshe, you got to be very, very nervous about that because we all have the same Shulchan Aruch. Hathman says, no, he is like so holy. He is like a really fancy Mekubal, and therefore he doesn't follow. Got to be very, very nervous of people who follow different klalim than everyone else. Can there be exceptions to that? Can the Amshin of a Rebbe be an exception to that? For sure. But we have to be very, very cautious and nervous of manhigim like that, I think undoubtedly. Let me chazer what we said, and maybe we'll try to just add what is, I think, a very, very powerful point in Parshas Emor that Rav Moshe has. But to try to just point out as follows. At least for me, when you look at the way Rav Moshe talks about being a posek and being a manhig, it is, again, I'm no one to judge, but it's like, it's exactly who you want being your manhig and being your posek. It's so incredibly healthy and realistic and in touch. Rav Moshe does not play the game of I'm the Gadol Hador, I'm the greatest Talmid Chacham in the last 500 years. I know everything. I'm the model of perfection. I can never objectively make an error. When Chazal had in mind Chacham, so I'm the person they had in mind. Rav Moshe is not saying that. And in many ways, people do say that. For me, I get a little bit nervous. Rav Moshe, though, is also very fearful of playing into the, of letting anivus, or what he would say even reality, mean that he's not going to feel a sense of achrayus to paskin, a sense of achrayus to give brachas, a sense of achrayus to publish svarim, a sense of achrayus to get involved in Klal Yisrael issues, in which you know people are going to critique you, in which you know people are going to argue with you. Rav Moshe is not comfortable doing that. He feels an incredible sense of achrayus. If someone asks me a question, I have an obligation to work hard, take it seriously, and answer it. I have the belief that if I work hard with Yirah Shamayim, dealing with the severity the question deserves, there will be a degree of siyata d'shmaya here. The Ribbono Shel Olam will be included in the category of Elu ve'Elu, Divrei Elokim Chayim. That's something which is very, very important. I want to end with just a nekuda about Rav Moshe here that I think is important from Parshas Emor. Says Rav Moshe, I want to go through the whole vort right now, but it's good. In source number 10, in the top left, there's a Moshe. Umizeh yesh lomo. A lot of times he gives you these lemaisa, what should I do? That's why he's so good. So Rav Moshe, kol mis'askim b'chinach. Maybe we'll speak one of these weeks about Rav Moshe and chinach. But anyone that's involved in chinach, uvelim in ha-Torah, asher vada yadua l'chol kama dvarim kashim me'od. It's very, very hard to be a person who's involved in chinach, to be a person involved in teaching Torah, to be a person involved in paskening. Moshe, it's very, very hard. Mitzad etzem ha-talmidim. Sometimes talmidim make things a little bit difficult at times. Vim ha-limudim. And sometimes the content is very difficult. Varbe pa'amim gam mitzad ha-horim. And the parents can drive you crazy sometimes, says Rav Moshe. That actually I can't joke about. I have wonderful interactions with all your parents. Gam mitzad ha-horim. It can be difficult. You're teaching sometimes, and the parents are critiquing you, and the kids are making it hard, and the content is difficult to explain, and they're not really there. And chinuch is really, really hard. And Moshe is not delusional about that. He's not saying that every time you sit and you give shiurim, it's the easiest thing in the world. It's very, very hard. But says Rav Moshe, mikol makom, this is an important yisod, and this I think does describe in many ways, at least from what I'm familiar with, some of the maises of Rav Moshe. Tzarech kol adam mehem lekabel bi'ahava uvesimcha. The way that you do it when you are that manhag, when you are that rebbe, when you are that teacher, is to accept it and to feel, despite the fact that it's hard. Hard does not mean sad. Hard does not mean that it weighs me down negatively emotionally. It can be hard, and you could do it besimcha, be'ahava, kimo shudaber noach v'kal. Even like as if it's easy, it's so enjoyable and so pleasant. It looks like that. V'rach mitar gadol inyan she'osa v'meino daver kal lefanav. Says Rav Moshe, if you can't do it in a way in which you're going to feel like I enjoy this, if you can't do it in a way, in a certain sense, where you don't make it seem like it's easy, you don't make it seem like it's something which is pleasurable, doesn't mean that you have to hide the fact that you're working hard. I mean, you have to hide the fact that you're clocking some hours. But to do that in a way in which you're demonstrating and you're modeling simcha nava, that's how you're supposed to do it, and that's how you're most effective. That's what the Kohanim, the beginning of Parshas Emor, are really charged with, says Rav Moshe. They're charged with the ability to be able to be, Vayomer Lashon, in a softer way, to model their increased obligations with a sense of simcha. They have more dinim Kohanim, but they have to show and accept it with a certain kind of simcha. Maybe that's who Rav Moshe was. So what we're going to be learning, Ezer Shem Nisman, is the Torah and the insights, are the Torah and insights of a person that is in many ways the ultimate manhig and the ultimate manhig and posek dealing with shilas. You're talking about the second half of the 20th century. Major, major shilas that Rav Moshe is going to be dealing with and how you deal with so many different issues. So many of us know psakim, many things that we do come through Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is unbelievably creative and an unbelievable manhig. The reason why Rav Moshe is part of these conversations and the reason why Rav Moshe is something that you have to talk about, you want to speak about where Klal Yisrael is at, is because Rav Moshe felt an unbelievable achrayus. Rav Moshe worked incredibly hard, and Rav Moshe was someone who did it besimcha in a way in which people, he made himself accessible, he was available. The joke, I think, always was in America that when you got smicha, they gave you two things, They gave you your klaf and Rav Moshe's phone number, so you'd have someone to call when you're childless. Rav Moshe was someone who was, Rav Moshe was someone who was unbelievably accessible and part of the conversation, and he was someone that was going to experience some opposition. And for Rav Moshe, he was very comfortable with that. And in many ways, this man will learn about the greatness of Rav Moshe, why, what made him so great, and what were the unique perspectives that he took as that kind of a manik. Guys, have a wonderful, wonderful show.